Welcome to the Global Missions, Inc. podcast. This week's episode features Herrick Holt.
I was pondering over the passages found in Isaiah concerning this. And the work that God did to bring this to us, and how infrequent we share in it. Healing, if you have faith enough to bring salvation into your life, you have also the same to bring in the healing that you require. We are not kept by human effort or in our abilities. We are kept by the power of God. You haven't the ability to keep yourself. While you're young, you may feel you have a lot of capabilities, but your capabilities depend upon the Almighty. I want you to put just as much confidence in the blood of Jesus Christ and give it the same priority as that God gives it. If you don't value that, then you have no foundation upon which you can live. But if you know that you are totally emancipated by that sacrifice of Jesus Christ, there isn't one department of your life that isn't affected by it. Isaiah, who prophesied in the 53rd chapter, caught away by the Spirit, he describes Calvary equal to Matthew 26 and 27. Where Matthew, having seen the event, describes it, but not in the vivid language of the prophet. A prophet can prophesy, and sometimes I think it's essential that a prophet stand up and just prophesy and not exhort along with the prophecy, because prophecy has such an impact. It rolls on and on and on and on, endlessly on, and never loses its power. And in Isaiah doing the same here, he was caught away, not having anything that his eyes could see, but seeing far beyond what his eyes could see, he prophesied concerning the death of Jesus Christ. And when he described his mutilated body, he lost all ability, it seemed, to put in the words. But he used what words he could, and he tried to describe it as a body that was just literally flailed and the flesh torn away. There is a word, it doesn't come to my mind, that is used in the whaling industry that describes it better than I can. I'm not sure whether it's flensing, is that the word, where they take the flesh off the whale? It's not fleshing, I know that. There's another word, and it just doesn't come to me. But it means where they take long slabs of flesh right off a whale. And the Hebrew just literally describes it that way, that Jesus was literally stripped, mutilated beyond all common sense, face so destroyed that he didn't even look like a man, brutally torn apart. But that was for a specific purpose, that I might enjoy divine life, divine health. You can easily lose all that tremendous source of life by trying to generate some kind of a human faith in your heart to grasp the immensity of that thing that is yours. You don't have that kind of faith. That faith that you need is something that also is born of God. It springs right from God. It's a part of the flow of His life. But today I know that how the enemy torments people. At one time, when he held his illustrious office higher than all the other created beings, he had that illustrious name of Lucifer, or the morning star. He held that exalted position. And then one day he did like men do today. He said, I'm not satisfied with this office. I am going to keep exalting myself. You will have to find, you believers will have to find this one secret. That thing that it can be in you the same will bring you to the same end. If there had been no pride, there would have been no devil. And this exaltation, you can never exalt the Christ that is within you that way. All that you can exalt is that natural man that must literally die out for you to survive in this spiritual realm. God isn't interested in developing your natural abilities. He's not interested in developing your fluent tongue or your imagination. He is only interested in developing the Christ that is embodied within you this morning. That's what He wants to develop. And He wants you to subside and to deteriorate and drop out of the picture, so that when you're standing fully complete, which you will stand complete, because that is the thing that God has put Himself under oath to do, to bring you to such a fullness. Paul caught it when he was writing to the Ephesians, to the Colossian church. He said, in Him dwells all the godness in its fullness. If he'd have stopped there, I would have rejoiced. In Jesus dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But he went beyond that and he said, you are complete in Him. Something that's beyond my imagination. Today I share in a portion of an experience, because I've seen it drop into the heart as the years roll by. The wonderful thing about difficult trials is that you gain opportunity to be able to stand, and having done all to stand, and then see the fulfillment of the promise in your life. You people, you dear people this morning that are struggling about various ailments and physical disabilities, I do not believe that all things that happen to you are of God. I do not believe that. It's an open contradiction to the Scriptures. There are some things that are perpetrated by the enemy of my soul, definitely designed by him to trick me. And many times he has done it. And one of his sadistic tricks is to just come close to you and do like he did in the Garden of Eden and put a question mark, hath God said? Hath God said? It is very, very clear what God has said to us. He said this: Jesus was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. And the chastisement of your peace was upon him. And with his stripes you are healed. He has said that. I am not trying to inspire you just by human force. God forbid that I should do that. But I want you to believe by the power of His Spirit that dwells in you. There is a life that is born in you, because if that life isn't born in you, there is no way you can get into the kingdom of God. But the new birth takes you right out of the the arresting surroundings of a fallen man. A fallen man cannot enter into that kingdom. He has no ability to enter into it. His mind isn't occupied with that. He may be religious. He could be very religious, but not, he could, if he's born of God, there is something that transpires within the heart of a man. That it is the commencement of a new life. And it acquaints you then with another realm. As I use the expression, riding two horses, the reason for that was that if you want to develop just the Adamic man that you are, that's your family line, you can go right back to it, you can find where you came from. If you only develop the Adamic life, you'll have nothing. Oh, you could be beautiful. One reason you will know when the Adamic life is very dominant, if somebody came up to you and said, "My, you're ugly," you'd be offended, wouldn't you? If you're easily offended, you're giving too much cultivation to that old Adamic life. That is a life that must go. I'm not talking about the carnal man. The carnal man is dealt with at Calvary. But I am talking about those strong potentials that you have, that were given to you by the Creator. An ability to do many, many things. You could be very skillful. You could be very entertaining. But the thing that God is interested in is not developing that part of you, but the life that He planted within you at that day, that dawn of creation that came when you said, "Jesus, You are my Savior, You are my Lord from this time on." That is the life. Somewhere I know it's within. I don't have any trouble questioning that part. I know that I have been born again by the power of the Spirit of God, because I am constantly occupied with eternal things. Night or day, my heart longs after something out there in the ages yet to come. I long to see a restoration of mankind. I long to see everybody healed by the power of God, because I am constantly occupied with eternal things. Night or day, my heart longs after something out there in the ages yet to come. I long to see a restoration of mankind. I long to see everybody healed by the power of God. A cripple can't go down by you down the street, but what all of your hearts go out to that poor cripple. And you would to God that you could lay your hands on him and impart the life that God is sharing with you. Isn't that the truth? Sure, it's the truth. It's the cry of our hearts. It's something that we want to do, not because we want the glory of it. To God be the glory. A man has enough glory now being brought into the family of God. But the enemy, he comes along and he says to you, "There's nothing wrong in doing this." He never works right in the extreme dark. He always works in the gray zone. If you want to get knocked down and knocked out, live in the gray zone. That's where he is very active. And so he said, "There's nothing wrong with a little bit of this and a little bit of that," until you become involved in something. And then when you're deeply involved in it, and you're aware that you've really sinned against God, he comes back to you and he said, "My, you're not much of a Christian." Isn't that a tantalizing thing? I'll be glad the day that he is locked up. But we still don't have to give him power over us. And that's why in Hebrews, when it was dealing with the law of sprinkling, and he said there comes, after all these offenses, you need your mind or your heart sprinkled by the blood of Christ. You need to go back for another washing. How many times you've prattled away the blessing of God, You've got into fellowship with somebody there, and you were in a high spirit, and the enemy just lets you go away, and first thing you know, you get into a realm of intensive gossip. You can never leave intensive gossip behind, but what your heart is saddened, and you're a deep sorrow, and you go with another resolve, and you say, I'm never going to do that again. That's just what the enemy loves to do, because he can weaken you. After you have spewed out all of your gossip, you cannot kneel down and say to God, oh God, I feel strong in faith today. What you feel like doing, you feel like repenting from your sins. We've got to turn away from repenting from dead works all the time. And we've got to start to live like sons. Amen. Mature people. And when you're not, a storm comes in on your home, don't run and get jittery all over. Just stand still. And if you haven't enough strength of your own, call your local elders in and pour out your heart to them. But don't start charging God in a foolish manner or listening to Satan. Because if you start to listen to him, he will drag you right down into the mire, and you'll never be able to lift the voice of faith or confidence in God. He'll strip you of it. Absolutely. What are the possibilities of believing? I'll tell you what the possibilities are. The possibilities of believing can bring total life to you. There is no sickness that wasn't cared for in Isaiah 53. All the sicknesses of the human race were cared for at that time. And God is absolutely satisfied with the sacrifice. Don't diminish the sacrifice. What God did on Calvary, he's completely satisfied that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can save the darkest sinner that ever trod in shoe leather. It can heal the most broken body that was ever ravaged by pain. It can restore all of fallen man back into his fullness. That is where your faith must be. Not if somebody lays their hands upon you and you get a little tremoring or some shocking kind of a thing. You don't need that at all. All you need to do is to place your heart and your mind upon the eternal word, because there is no variation in it. The variation comes in you, but there is no variation in the promise. The promise is yea and amen to you when you believe it. There won't be any variation at all, because God cannot turn back. When once God establishes it, he swears it by an oath, and he swears it by himself, that there will be no variation in the promise. And you might say, well, I have maybe made such a mess of my life, and I am this and that. That's right, just listen to that, and you won't have any faith at all. That's what the arch enemy of your soul wants you to listen to. He can say you're making such a poor fish of your life. You've done this and you've done that. You can never promote yourself in the sight of God by doing all these good things. You are going to grow by the power of his Son. All that he sees in you is what he's accomplished in his Son. Your life is by his Son. Your strength is by his Son. Your deliverance is by his Son. Your tomorrow is by his Son. He's not going to depend on whether you live a beautiful life or not. He knows that he has the ability, if you will believe, he can put the very life of his own Son, embodied it right in your heart and your life, so that you can feel the energizing power of the Son. When that young man was singing yesterday, I felt that tremendous surge of God's faith surge through my body as though it was coming outside in an avalanche. I can't control that. That is something that comes in by God himself. I had nothing to do with it. And I want you to know that that is the life of the Son of God embodying in you. And he wants you now to grow into sons, not spiritual ornaments. going around looking like a goody-goody, and oh, you got so many laws and regulations that govern your life. Not even God wrote as many as you have written that governs your life. But he wants you now to enter into the life of his Son. That is where your healing is. You can say, I have no ability to raise my hand. You don't have those abilities, but you have the ability to believe that that hand will raise. You have the ability to believe that no longer are you going to be tormented by rheumatic conditions that bedevil you all your life, because the promise is yours through the Son. Amen. Amen.
If you would like more information about the moving of God's Spirit or resources for your spiritual life, please visit our website at www.globalmissionsinc.org.